Hallelujah. Thank you, Master Knopf. I love it. I love it. I love it. Refreshed, not refleshed. See, if you don't get refreshed, you get refleshed. Amen? We don't want to be refleshed. Praise God. Turn to John 10 for a moment, please. 22. It says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Now, the feast of dedication is a feast where it was in remembrance of rededication of the temple. It's also known as the Festival of Lights. Is everybody with me? And or also it's or feast of dedication. There's another name for it we call Hanukkah. Now, I didn't realize how important this feast was until the Spirit revealed to me a few things of what's happening, because we're in that feast right now, Feast of Hanukkah. It's called the Festival of Lights. And I'm going to share a little bit about what it's about. When Israel lost the temple and it was conquered by Syria and the Greek army, and they conquered it because they refused to worship their Greek gods. So the Israelites revolted against, and then they gathered together and conquered it. And they were called the Maccabees. And in 163 B.C., their victories, the Maccabees, when they entered it and they took it, one of the things that they wanted to do in the temple was to set up the menorah. And the menorah is it's a lamp like with four candles on each side and then a main source. And they only had enough oil for one candle to light. And in that, it kept lighting the other candles every single day for the next 8 days, another lit, and they didn't have enough oil for it. So it was called the Festival of Lights. Again, they only had enough to keep one night one candle lit, but it stayed lit for 8 days, and each candle continued to light. In remembrance of the Maccabees, it's also associated with something very special, which many times we don't realize, because everybody's in December 25th, they celebrate Jesus' birthday, which is really not his birthday. It's actually Nimrod's birthday. But this is how the enemy messes with people. Does everybody understand? So, Jesus would always be associated with a feast. Remember the seven feasts of the Lord, he must come and fulfill them. So, Hanukkah is actually, in this feast, is the time Jesus was conceived. It was in December. He was born in September on the Feast of Trumpets, which means New Year. Now check this out. Because what followed the Feast of Trumpets was the Feast of Atonement. So he was circumcised 8 days after he was born, which falls in line with the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Atonement and the Festival of Lights. Why? Because he is the light, isn't he? Amen? So even though we celebrate his birth in December 25th, you know, it's really not his birth, it's conception. And in that, it was on the feast of Festival of Lights. And in John 10, 22, it says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Well, that would be what? December. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? Now think about this. Jesus is walking in the temple fulfilling Hanukkah, the festival in the dedication of the, and knowing that he was conceived at that time, he was going there to tell him who he was but not tell him who he was. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered him, I told you, and you do not believe. And the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, so you got to something here. Here's a requirement. You got to know his voice and follow him. Amen. My Father has given them to me and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered and said to him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being a man make yourself God. That's why they were stoning him, trying to, but he escaped anyways. They couldn't touch him. Amen? So understand that the Feast of Dedication was in December, winter feast, or what they call the Festival of Lights. So now you see all the things that are lit and things that go around, because it's actually, people don't even realize what they're celebrating most of the time. You know, they just, oh, Christmas tree, Christmas lights, lights on the houses, lights here. And then they have the lighting up of each city. Oh, we're going to light the lights. Well, it's the Festival of Lights. It's actually Hanukkah. It's a Jewish festival. Amen? Everybody okay? Anybody okay? Praise God. Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world, should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, and be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and said, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in some country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I brought you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those which things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and seen, and it was told to them. And when 8 days were completed, for the what? Circumcision of the child. His name was called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now this is powerful because you don't see any mention of wise men. Do you? Because they weren't there for this. The wise men didn't come until after Jesus was 2 years old. Does everybody understand that? They weren't there at his birth. They came and brought the gifts and gold and so forth after Jesus was 2 years old. So that's all that was happening here, was the shepherds and the angels and God revealing who the child was. Does everybody get it? I mean, you know, we hear so much stuff about, but this is the truth. And so in this, again, we go back to Jesus was conceived in Hanukkah, which is 8 days. Amen. And then in December, and born on the Feast of Trumpets, and circumcised in the Feast of Atonement, because he is the atonement for humanity. Amen. No wise men, no wise guys were there. So now, there's what we call a 4-year mark, and God, how he repeats things. And when you think about 44 or 40 or whatever, those are symbolic time sequences God has. I mean, he's got multiple time sequences. We know sevens and eights, and anyways, his numerical, God's a numbers person. And in that, even all the letters represent a number in Hebrew. So in this, with this year, December, this year we're in as Hanukkah is being manifested and celebrated. 4 years ago, on the last day of the Feast of Hanukkah, which was December 30th, because the Hanukkah was from the 22nd to the 30th, around there, it was in 2019, the first seal was broken of Revelation. Now, I want you to look at something, because the menorah also has 4 candles on each side. Amen? So there's 4-year sequences. Is everybody okay? Now you got 4 representing completion into a new era. Jesus said, if you complete the assignment, I'll release the promise. So in the book of Revelation in chapter 6, in fact, why don't we go there for a second? We'll talk about the first 3 seals here that are associated with this here. Again, remember, 4 is the area of completion into a new era. Jesus was on the earth for 40 days. Amen. After he rose from the dead, and then he ascended. And that changed the whole earth, didn't it? It brought salvation to the whole world. 40 days of rain. Amen. 40 days, 40 nights of rain. Noah went. And then the world was flooded and everything changed. There was a new era. Lazarus was dead for 4 days and rose again, and God revealed what? His glory. That changed everybody's. The Israelites were in captivity for 400 years. Amen. When they came out, things changed. And Moses with the Lord 40 days, wasn't he? And he brought the commandments. It changed everything. So the Israelites were freed. The Lord gave Moses commands of the law. All of these things are associated with 4 or 40, meaning assignment completed into a new era. Is everybody okay? Good. Revelation 6:1. Now I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the 4 living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. This was the first seal. The word tells us that the world would never be the same. You know, so many people think, well, if a seal's been released, then all the rest of it's got to fall in place. No, it's every seal that's released, there's a process of things happening. In verse 3, let's speak into this one here. When he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. Was peace taken from the earth? You bet. And that the people should kill, peace was taken from the earth, and that the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now, peace was taken from the earth. Did many people die? Are many people killing one another now? Amen. Hallelujah. That was the second seal. And that happened on Pentecost. That happened on Pentecost. The third seal. Is everybody there? When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. Well, what do you use scales for? Weighing what? Money. Currency. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Well, what's the oil and the wine? It's us. Amen? We're the oil and the wine. And do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, this is the currency exchange, which is going to happen. Now, that is going to happen because now we're entering the second part of the menorah, the second part of the 4 years. Is everybody okay? So we know that the first 3 seals have already been, they're already happening. We look at what's going on globally. The currency is changing all over. They're coming against the Babylonian currency, which is printed money by the United States. I mean, they just print gazillions of dollars. They don't care. U.S. currency. And it's getting less value, more and more and more and more. Now they will not use U.S. currency to buy any oil. So United States is going to have to go trade in their currency for another currency to purchase oil. Now think about that. In fact, they're selling their oil, they're selling their currency all over. All these countries are selling their currency. In fact, in other countries, they're saying, turn in the U.S. currency and we'll give you a better currency. So they're telling them now we're going to increase the value of other currency, just turn in this U.S. currency so we can dump it. You know, people don't even get this. They have no idea what's going on. They're so blinded. They're caught up in their own external reality. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But is under what? Guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Now, this is vitally important. This is where people become Ishmaels and don't even realize it. Heirs, they become premature Ishmaels because they're not sent. Does everybody get it? They're not sent. So they leave before the appointed time. Verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wow. So here it is, you know, these are areas where God because we're heirs of Christ, God's bringing us many opportunities. But if there's a premature Ishmael, they miss many opportunities. It's the spirit. Does everybody get it? They'll miss the opportunities and not realize it. Why? Because they're caught up on the what? External reality and the internal reality, not the eternal reality. This is why God is shaking everything now to bring his children back into position, because of the great pouring out and things are about to happen. Many of them are going to miss it. Need to break that premature Ishmael curse off. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. Daniel said, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, this is so powerful, and humbled yourself before your God. So these are two requirements. Amen? You set your heart, not your mind, your heart to understand. And humbled yourself. Your words were heard. Some people wonder why they ain't getting answered prayer. Some people wonder why things aren't happening according to what they expect. Because their pride, amen? And the only thing they want to get understanding of, what to do, where to go, what. That's a totally different thing. In other words, the understanding of God's way is what we want. Amen? We want the understanding of his ways and to humble ourselves before him. Then your prayers, your words will be heard. Set heart to understand and humble yourself. Does everybody get it? Again, these are things that prevent us and cause us to miss opportunities. How many of y'all know that God always tries to make a way of escape for us? I mean, we all have been caught up in traps one way or another. And we knew ahead of time God tried to warn us. Heck, we got behind cars, there was a bumper sticker saying something to you. You know, I mean, he tried to warn us multiple, but we, it's all right, I got it. These are some of the things that hinder what God is trying to do. The Word tells us something very specific. Do unto others as you want to be done unto you. That's called sowing and reaping. Amen. It says, honor one another, respect one another. When you don't, you reap. Prayers get hindered. God has an answer. He might answer, say no. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives or with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be what? Hindered. That's not only to wives, that's to everyone. Does everybody get it? It's to everyone. Do unto others as you want to be done unto you. You know, the Bible says again, what you sow is what you reap. Be careful of how you treat people. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Festival of Lights. What a time. I'm just so excited about. And let me tell you, something's about to explode big time. Something's about to happen big time. And it's got to happen by the end of this year. before I kill somebody. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Hello? Let's speak it. Thus says the Lord, curses a man who trusts in himself and man. It makes flesh his what? Strength. Whose heart departs from the Lord. Well, I love the Lord. Well, you're trusting in you, but your heart's departing from the Lord. For he shall be like a tree, like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when what? Good comes. That means miss opportunities. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land which is not inhabited. But blesses the man who what? Trusts in the Lord, who hope in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear. And when heat comes, when trouble comes, when challenges come, but its leaf will be what? Green. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. In other words, how you treat others, what you do to others will come back to you. What you sow is what you reap. Nobody escapes that. Psalm 1. That's Psalm chapter 1, not Psalm 1. I know we don't want to miss opportunities, do we? Then we got to heed God's warning. We got to heed his word. We got to be led by his spirit and know and hear. And I'm going to share with you that God speaks more in vision than anything. So you must become a seer. It's important. That's why praying in the spirit brings vision also. Amen. Psalm 1, verse 1. Anyone. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, hallelujah. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he what? Meditates day and night. That means he focuses. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will what? Prosper. So if the enemies come to steal, kill, and destroy, and you ain't prospering, something ain't right. But the prosper that God wants us is to know him more. Prosper more in the spirit. Prosper. No matter what comes across your path, you ain't going to move. Doesn't matter. You're trusting in him. Amen? You're a seeker of his presence and of his truth. In verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Listen, we're going to see this all over the world, more and more and more. Amen? Isaiah 60 and verse 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings of the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. That means we got to get in position and get ready. Amen? God's not a respecter of person, is he? Again, how you treat others, you're going to be treated. What you sow is what you reap. And I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. Some things can be reconciled, some things can't. That's up to the hand of the God. That's the Lord's, not ours. But let me share this with you. Don't try to reconcile yourself anything. Keep your little paws out of stuff. Let God build the house and not us. You know, when the Lord restored my wife and myself, my trust was in Him. I didn't ask her for a thing. I had everything. Him. I realized that He was my everything. I didn't care if I had to hitchhike. I didn't have a vehicle. I didn't have any money. She gave me $20 allowance. I give it away. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have nothing. I didn't ask for nothing. I trusted in Him all the way. I mean, because I caused so much harm, BC, how can I be a witness if I'm starting the same old character over again? No, my trust was in Him no matter what. He's my fulfillment. He's my life now. Everything. He's my source. Everything else is a what? Resource. See, it's when we get those things out of order, it lacks divine order. So we want to maintain a life of divine order. Listen, we bring all this stuff on ourselves by being disobedient to God. Not even knowing we're being disobedient to God. We fall in our own puddles of affliction. We bring it all on ourselves. Why? Choices. We talked about this multiple times, how God has to alter things for us. And every wrong decision makes a change in path. Amen? So in that, we want to be maintain that divine position so that we don't miss the opportunities and what God has for us. The world is shaken. God is trying to shake His people back into position and expose the wicked. So that shaking is going to continue no matter what. I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Hallelujah. Oh, we'll start at verse 5. Likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. In other words, those that are mature. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud. Does that mean he's resisting prayer? I mean, He hears you, but He ain't answering you. What's He doing? If we just read that, how did the angel tell Daniel how God hears him? He what? Put his heart to what? Understand, and he what? Humbled himself. That's how God hears us. But He gives grace to the what? Humble. That's God's plan. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That means you must be consistent and steadfast. Stay that area. Keep a heart of humbleness, humility, surrender, understanding. Keep a heart that's always saying, look, I live to please You, not myself. And Jesus gave the formula, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. It's amazing how many people put it in reverse. Casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In other words, listen, I was struggling one day, and next thing I saw the Lord at the end of my couch, and He looks at me and He says, what can you do that I can't, guy? I said, nothing. He said, then exchange it. That's when they exchanged. I was doing that exchange prayer. Exchange it. Quit holding on to it. Exchange it. Let me do it. Let me take it. And don't pick it back up. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. People cast their cares upon the Lord, and then they pick it up and they try to fix it. Don't fix it. He fixes it. Amen? Be sober. That means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. In other words, big mouth. Seeking whom he may devour. How is he going to devour? With deception of his voice. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you ain't alone. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have been challenged and suffered a little bit, that you would be perfected, established, and strengthened, and that you would be settled so you never move again. Amen? So you're never moved again. Listen, we want to do everything we can to please God. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Many people don't even know the seasons and time we're in. But I found it very interesting in the Feast of Hanukkah, the celebration of how important it is and how it's kind of like neglected. You know what I'm saying? Not really understood. And that's what the Spirit brought to me today. I thought, wow. You know, the Jews celebrate Hanukkah. I have Jewish friends. And I was like, you know, every time Christmas came around, they were celebrating Hanukkah. I thought, oh, I wonder why they did that. Why weren't they celebrating Jesus? Because they didn't know Jesus. But again, Jesus was conceived in Hanukkah in that time. Think about that. Birthed on the Feast of Trumpets, circumcised on the Feast of Atonement. Everything associated with him to bring him glory. Awesome. Get ready, because things are about to explode. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, keep us in a place of humility, humbleness, where we are alert, consistent, and submissive to your way, being led by your voice and exposing the voice of the stranger in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.